John's Gospel, chapter 10 this morning. John 10, I appreciate this good crowd back after Thanksgiving. Last Sunday, our house was filled. And I appreciate you being back this morning to honor the Lord on the Lord's Day. If you're willing and able, let's stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. John 10. You know, Brother Lee made a statement that rung in my heart, Brother Mike. I wonder how many of us prayed this morning for our service. I preached last Sunday as Moses was talking to the older people of the children of Israel that had came out of Egypt's bondage. And he told them to not forget. I think the older we get, the more distracted we get. But may we keep our eyes on Jesus to have a place to hand off to young people that want to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. I'm interested today mainly in two verses, but I would like to read this parable before I preach out of those two passages. In John 10, and 10, verse number 1, verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me, they're thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You may be seated this morning. Father, we do love you and just want you to know that, Lord, I bless you. God, I'm not ashamed to raise my hands toward heaven and say thank you. And I want to thank you for these people that's gathered here today. And God, as you've laid these verses in my heart, it's for a reason. Thank you for the goodness of God. Touch those that are sick in our church. Help us in the preaching of the Word this morning. Let us be a blessing to your people. If it be one here lost and undone without Christ, may this be the morning that they surrender their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help all my preacher friends today as they stand. Help our nation. God, I pray you continue to show mercy on our nation. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 10. There are two mission statements there. First of all, you'll have Satan's mission statement. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil's mission statement. You know, most every place that you work, they'll always have a mission statement. Well, so does the devil have a mission statement. He mentions himself as being a thief. The Lord highlighted that. He's a thief. Young people, he loves to steal the blessings of God from you. He loves to steal the peace of God from you. The thief, he cometh not but for to steal and to kill. He don't want to wound you, young people. He wants to kill you. And what's this? And to destroy. That's the devil's mission statement. But this morning I want to preach out of Christ's mission statement. He said, I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. I want to share three brief thoughts with you today in preaching. First of all, out of verse number 9, I want to stay in verse 9. I want to give you these three statements today. You'll see, first of all, there is a claim that cannot be disregarded. Number 2, there's a covenant that cannot be doubted. And number 3, there's a confidence that cannot be denied. Watch now, first of all, in verse 9, a claim that cannot be disregarded. He said, I am the door. We see a door that is observed. It takes a door to go in or go out. I wonder, have you ever been through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ into the great life of salvation? He said, simply, I am the door. There's a claim that cannot be disregarded. We see this door observed. But then look what he says also in verse 9. The door official. He said, by me. It's all by Christ today. It's not by our good works. It's not by our church membership. It's not whether we've been baptized. It's not whether we pay all of our tithes and offerings. But I tell you what it does mean, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. He said all that tried to come another way, they've climbed up as thief and robbers. There's one way to heaven this morning. That is by the doorway of the Lord Jesus Christ. This door is observed. It takes a door. Somebody asks, well, how big is this door? Well, this door is wide enough to receive sinners. It saved the chief of sinners, as Paul alluded to himself. He was the chief of sinners. And I'm glad if God can save the chief, He can save all the little Indians this morning. I sure am glad that He's made room at the cross of Calvary, that you and I may get into the precious kingdom of God. Somebody said, how big is that door? Well, I know it's big enough to receive sinners. But I got to thinking, Brother Mike, this door's not real tall. For a man must humble himself and come lowly in that doorway to heaven. You'll not get in this door by walking tall and prideful. But I sure am glad when a man, woman, boy, and girl sees theirself as a sinner, humble themselves, repent of their sins, and lowly come to Christ. He will receive us by the good grace of God. I'm glad I got through the door. Thank God He made a way for us. Through the door, not through religion, not through a preacher, but through Calvary's cross, where the Lord died for me and you. Oh, I'm thankful today for this claim that cannot be disregarded. You see, this door is observed. This door is official. Paul was writing to the church of Rome, and he wrote this in Romans 3:21, this door that is official. But now the righteousness of God, watch this, without the law is manifested. You mean you can be righteous without the law? Yeah, there's nobody going to attain righteousness by the law, because we can't live by the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. It ought to be in our schoolhouses, in our courthouses. Friend, there's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is us. We can't keep the law. And God, by His mercy and grace, look what He said He done. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Watch. How do you attain the righteousness of God? It's by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I'm glad when God sees us. He don't see us by our skin. He don't see us by our hair. He don't see us by our clothes. But He sees us by our heart. Aren't you glad we got a God that sent His Son, that we could have the righteousness of Christ and go to heaven when we die? this morning, he says, there is no difference. Watch this, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. You're exactly right. You can't live it. But Christ can live it through you. He says, come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Aren't you glad it don't take money to be saved today? Justified freely, watch, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. A claim that cannot be disregarded. This door is observed. This door is official, He said, by me. But I want to say thirdly this morning, and listen real good, the door is open. I'm glad this is the day of grace. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I want you to turn there. I'll give you a moment. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 1. I want you to see this in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 6 verse number 1. We then as workers together, that's what we're to do in the body of Christ. There are no big ones, no little ones. We're to work together for the kingdom of God. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee, or came to thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, this door is not only observed, not only is this door official, but right now this door is still open. I sure am glad that He will receive you and I this morning by the good grace of God. I was reading last night thinking about this door was open. If Brother Randall Nim was here this morning, over 30 years ago, I preached a message at the first church I pastored down in Alabama where they went. There's a place down in Lineville in Delta, Alabama. And I preached on a message on the claw marks of the ark. You see, everybody was laughing at old Noah. Brother Mike, for 120 years, the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. He'd preach, come one, come all, but you must all come, for there's a day approaching. It had never rained. Isn't that amazing? You that went to Kentucky, the youth group, to see the ark. Wasn't that a magnificent specimen of what God had designed? People laughed at Noah as he would come by and his boys would help him build. It was Noah's great project. Could you imagine being Noah that day? And he's building this ark and it's never rained simply because God told him to. I wish God would give us some ark building faith this morning. He began. He just continued to do what God told him to do. Christians, we ought to set our faces aflint and continue to do what God has called us to do. It doesn't matter about the heckling that people make fun of us. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. Jesus is coming. One day the laughing will be over. The Bible said the heavens opened and the rains descended. That ark began to float up off of that earth. And the Bible said, and the Lord shut them in. That door was closed. And I want to tell you something this morning. The door of the Lord Jesus is still open in this day and this hour. Don't let the door close on you, because this door is official. This door is observed. And this door is open. In this text on the Lord's mission statement, you'll notice there's a claim that cannot be disregarded. Secondly, look what He says in verse 9, back to this text of John 10 and 9. I want you to see this. The second point, a covenant that cannot be doubted. Look what He said. I'm the door by me. If any man enter in, look what He says, he shall be saved. My, what a statement. say, you know, I came up in a church till I met Renee in Florida, moved about, and I'd went to a church for several years. I'd never even, Brother Kevin, heard this word mentioned, saved. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad Jesus let me get in, Brother John, and saved me. I'm glad He saved you. You see, we see in this mission statement a covenant that cannot be doubted. He said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. This covenant, what are you talking about? This covenant that can't be doubted. He said, you shall be saved. Some of you, you ought to get it nailed down about your salvation. You'll never have no joy doubting if you're going to heaven or not. Our Bible says, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm not trying to wait till I get there till I know. Honey, you better know before you close your eyes and take your last breath that heaven is your home. And you can know this morning. For Jesus said, you shall be saved. A covenant that cannot be doubted. I want to show you something. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I want you to turn with me over on the right of your Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. I want you to underline this. I wish you'd look at it from time to time. Talking about a covenant that the Father had. Hebrews 6. A covenant that cannot be doubted. Shall be saved. Hebrews 6 and 16. I want to say, first of all, I have a covenant that is sworn by the Father. The Father does not lie. God cannot tell a lie. Watch this. This covenant that cannot be doubted. Hebrews 6 and 16. For men verily swear by the greater or somebody higher than them. An oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So this oath, what he's talking about is this. Men willingly swear to someone higher than them. They make an oath to God. They go into a contract one to another. They make an oath. There's an agreement made between men. But now look what God says. He said in verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that wind in the veil, whether the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is he saying? He's saying God made an oath to himself. God cannot lie. Men make an oath unto God. They will settle their differences. God said there's a difference between man and me. But I sent my Son to settle that difference. Aren't you glad the old account was settled at the foot of Calvary? God said, I've sworn unto myself and I cannot lie that I will redeem all that come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning I'm saved forever. Thank the Lord. A covenant that cannot be doubted is sworn by the Father. Look in Colossians 2 and 14. It's solidified by the Son. I want you to see this. Give you time. Go to the left, Colossians, chapter number 2, verse 14. Look what he says. I'm thankful for my Bible this morning. Colossians 2 and 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What is that? Oh, that's the law. That's the ordinances, the way that you had to come and do things. Which was contrary to us. You know why it was contrary to us? Because we couldn't keep them. And took it out of the way. Nailing it to His cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You see this covenant that cannot be doubted. It was sworn by the Father. It was solidified by the Son. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," I'm glad He paved the way to glory for me and you by simply by grace through faith. You say, "Preacher, when you get saved, what happens?" Well, the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. I believe when you get saved, that you may be able to get away from God, but let me tell you, you can't get God away from you. God's going to follow you where you go. And when you sin, the Spirit of God that lives in you is going to let you know about it. And aren't you glad He said these words? If we'd confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know something about church that people don't understand, that they've got a false thought about? The church is filled of those goody do-gooders. But let me tell you something. There's nobody in this building can go to heaven without Christ. There's nobody in this building can live close enough to the law. But aren't you glad by grace He forgives us? Cleans us up and keeps us saved by the good grace of God. You say, "Preacher, does the Lord love me?" He loves you more than you know this morning. Wouldn't that be so bad if we didn't have this covenant? And you know another thing that one of the old writers explained to me yesterday about this covenant, Brother Lee, how men break their promises. How they intend to keep their word, but things come in play and they can't keep their word. But God cannot lie. And God swore to Himself and made a covenant that what His Son was going to do at Calvary would be enough to satisfy Him. Aren't you glad Christ is enough this morning? Oh, if we could all realize that of how good God has been to us. Not only, there's some of you here today, you're lost. And I want to tell you, as an old country preacher, this, God's been good to you. God's blessed you. He's let you get up. He's let you hear the gospel. You say, "Well, does Jesus really love me?" Yes, He's let you hear the gospel. Christ died for all. He loves us so much that He made a covenant with His Son. What you'll do on the cross will satisfy me. You know, that's always amazed me. I'm about done preaching, but I want to say, this is all. Have y'all ever really thought about this? The only thing that would appease God is giving His Son. He was God and He could do anything He wanted to do. But it had to be an ultimate sacrifice of shedding holy blood. And that was His Son, the Lord Jesus, gave Him for you and I. You see, the Lord's mission statement, it's a claim that cannot be disregarded. There's a door available today. There's a covenant that cannot be doubted. It was sworn by the Father. It was solidified by the Son. He paid it all. But it's also sealed by the Spirit. Look in Ephesians 1 and 12. Ephesians 1 and 12. Paul's writing, talking about we're sealed by the Spirit. We should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. You've got to trust Christ to be your Savior. Whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption, the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. You know, as a young preacher, I used to use this illustration as a seal on a mason jar when we seal pickles or we seal fruit. But that's not what it means. This simply means an imprint, a stamp, a seal has been put on you. Everyone that's ever been saved, that has come to Christ by grace through faith. He says the day we're saved, the Spirit comes to live in us. And we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see the Savior's mission statement. It's a claim that cannot be disregarded. It is a covenant that cannot be doubted. But thirdly and lastly, there's a confidence that cannot be denied. Look in verse 9. I'm done preaching in John 10. He says this, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And here's the text, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The confidence that cannot be denied. First of all, look at the freedom it brings. No longer yoked down in the sin of bondage, but you go in and out in the freedom of Christ. I sure am glad that I don't have to serve a God that is full of do's and don'ts, but I get to serve a God that it's already done. Paid on Calvary's cross. I sure am glad I've had freedom to go in and out. Not only the freedom that it brings, but look at the fullness it brings. It says, and they would find pasture. Have you ever noticed this? Not belittling anybody, but just doing a comparison. And I'm done preaching. Have you ever noticed those people in Hollywood that have all these toys and all these things? Have you ever noticed how old a 40-year-old looks? You ever notice how hard that life is in the world on people? God said, the life I give you will be a life more abundantly. And not only the freedom you have, but the fullness you receive, you'll find pasture. You know, it would do us all good, as Miss Sherry comes. It would do us all good, I think, a lot of times. Especially during these holiday seasons, we're so busy and we get so distracted. If we just steal away someplace and put on some good gospel music, open up our Bible and go to reading some verses and go to praying and find that pasture that only the Lord can give. This world, y'all, has got so busy and we've got so busy with it. I've experienced a lot of things in this life. I've been able to do a lot of great things. I really have. But I've never had nothing like feeding in His pasture. For the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sure am glad that when you get in His pastures, you'll find things that are so fulfilling that this world cannot feel. A lot of you are looking for something to fix what's wrong. A lot of you are searching for something to fill up that empty feeling. Only Christ can do that. Oh my goodness, this wonderful reality that we receive when we are in Christ. This confidence that cannot be denied, the freedoms it brings. I'm so glad that I'm not bound by sin anymore. I want to say something as your preacher, be real transparent a minute. There's times that I disobey God. I do because I'm human. I don't want to. But sometimes I do. That never brings contentment. I never get peace till I get back right with God. Never. I don't care if I'm sitting in a deer stand. I don't care if I'm sitting in my study or in this pulpit till I'm right with God. I don't experience that peace that I know that I need. I'm glad He's the peace giver this morning. You see, the freedoms it brings. I'm so glad. My grandchildren don't know what I used to do in my teens and early 20s. I'm glad they don't know about that, Granddaddy, Brother Kevin. You see, in 1981, God saved me. And when He saved me, He turned my world upside down. I've not been perfect. I've made a lot of mistakes like you have. But there's nothing like Jesus that will restore us and give us that we need. You see, the confidence that cannot be denied. He said He shall go in and out and find pastures. The freedoms it brings, the fullness it brings, but lastly, the fellowship it brings with the Good Shepherd. Are you saved this morning? Are you right with God? I'm so glad you're here. You know, I commend our church. That when rough sinners come in, they're not looked at and looked down upon, but they're reached out to. Psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me. He'll always lead this way in the paths of righteousness." If you ever want to know if God's leading you, you can always look around. Does it line up with the Bible? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." His rod and His staff. See, He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Don't matter what your enemies say. You've got God. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Whatever you need this morning.